Horsford, let's talk a little bit about this company doing this specialized digital photography, and then let's chat about the intelligence community as well.
Digital Globe owns and operates the world's first 2-foot commercial resolution satellite, that being QuickBird, which was launched about a month after 9-1-1. It's done spectacular service for the CIA and the entire intelligence community as far as Afghanistan and Iraq. It also has many corporate clients around the world, and I feel very fortunate and privileged to have them fly several missions for me gratis over Mount Ararat in 2003. Because there's such thick cloud cover over the anomaly, in particular on Mount Ararat, they had to fly about 3 or 4 missions, and then finally on February 1st, 2003, the cloud cover broke, and we have a most intriguing image of Mount Ararat, of the Mount Ararat anomaly, which you have before you, showing a very distinct and symmetrical ship-like, Titanic-like structure, partially submerged in the glacier at 15,300 feet on the northwest corner of the western plateau of Mount Ararat. This being, by the way, the only truly unexplored site on Mount Ararat. And most importantly, this is the intelligence community's anomaly site, and it has been since June 17, 1949, when a B-29 bomber, then flying on a classified mission parallel to Mount Ararat, first captured the anomaly on film.
Has it been receding at all from snow and ice since 49?
That's a great question, George. In 1999, Iconos 1-meter resolution satellite flew Ararat, and then later that summer in 2000 flew several more missions, and now we have this QuickBird shot. It's really interesting. There's a tremendous amount of snow cover in some of the images. It really depends on the time of year. This is wintertime, by the way. This is February 2003, the image that you have before you on your website. There's a good amount of snow and ice on this, but notwithstanding that, one thing that strikes me about this image, that it is so salient, so distinctive, that we're still seeing the form of it coming up, if you will, through the ice and the snow. Now, as far as options as to what this might be, the radar sat imagery, which is not optical, which is firing radar beams against the mountain and bouncy back solid structures, confirms that the Ararat anomaly is not really the effect of shadow and the like, that it is a solid something. It is a solid, some kind of structure. So the real only real options for this, it would seem, would be it's a huge rock formation, mm-hmm. shaped very much like the Titanic, but much bigger. or it could be something much more interesting, something potentially of biblical proportions. And as I said earlier, at 1,015 feet long, precisely measured, and then as far as a width, it's hard to tell because it looks like it's listing or canting at an angle. It's roughly 160 feet wide, which puts it in a 6-to-1, 300 cubit to 50 cubit, right out of the Genesis blueprint dimensions.
How high up is this on Mount Ararat?
Mount Ararat summit is 17,000 feet. This is at 15,300 feet.
It's a lot of water if that's the arc. Wow. I guess the flood really was real then.
Oh, my God. I had a nautical archaeologist at the London Maritime Museum. I chatted with him on the phone about 12 years ago and telling him that I was in pursuit of getting the intelligence community to declassify satellite imagery of a very distinct anomaly on Mount Ararat. And he asked me, how high up is the anomaly? And I said, well, it's 15,300 feet. And he went, well, gee whiz. He said, I must tell you, Porsche, I'm a big skeptic as far as any possibility of a global flood, but I must admit to you that if there isn't a structure, a ship-shaped structure at that level on Mount Ararat, that was a pretty big flood.
Absolutely. What are they saying to you, the intelligence community, in these private discussions? What's happening here?
First, let me say that I salute the intelligence community for the last 13 years, my involvement with them, because I've been met everywhere with professionalism and courtesy on a very sensitive matter. And why is it sensitive with the intelligence community? And I've dealt with very, very senior Pentagon and CIA officials on this, some, by the way, who I personally know, as well as mid-level officials. And the two understandable concerns are, first, from a national security standpoint, especially in a post-911 world that we live in, a war on terrorism world, that it's really not appropriate either for the public or for enemies in the United States to comprehend or realize just how well CIA reconnaissance satellites can actually discern or see from outer space.
Okay.
That there's been all kinds of speculation out there over the years, as you can imagine, with the media, as to how well these birds can see. There was an article in Business Week magazine 3 years ago, very nonchalantly, stated that these birds can see quite well, to the tune of reading newspapers from outer space. I don't know if
it could be true,
statement.
Portia. Yeah.
Sure, I mean, it's an amazing statement. I don't have any first-hand knowledge of that, but assuming for the sake of discussion that that kind of technology exists, that certainly is something that is quite sensitive and classified on national security grounds. The second concern, understandably, the issue is that even if this might be the remains of something of biblical proportions up on Mount Ararat, the intelligence community has no obligation whatsoever to declassify and release the imagery, because, it, number one, it would have no military value, and second, the intelligence community and the military are not in the business of archaeology. So they could not say, well, we're going to release this and declassify this to neutral and detached, dispassionate scientists on the grounds of archaeological revelation and the mm-hmm. like. They really have no obligation to do it. They could do it, but they're not compelled or obligated to do that.
Would an expedition prove beyond a shadow of a doubt whether this is artificial or not?
Indeed, nothing's better than ground truth, actually putting an expedition up on the mountain. My goal from the beginning, George, has been to get to the point using what I call satellite archaeology. That's essentially what my project is, satellite archaeology, to make Mount Ararat transparent to the discerning eyes of the public and also the dispassionate eyes of neutral and detached scientists, to get to the point where, geez, someone looks at a satellite image and says, this really could be potentially something man-made. Let's go take a closer look. That's really simplistically speaking, the initial goal and phase of my project. And with the Turkish government hopefully leading the way, that a team could get up on Mount Ararat, close up and examine this and determine whether or not it's a strange rock formation or something potentially much more interesting. And I would say that one of the key things that they would look at would be obviously whether or not this anomaly, this structure, this potential nautical structure might fit or be in the ballpark of the biblical blueprint, which is a 6-to-1 length to width ratio,
mm-hmm.
an elevation 1/10 of the length, 3 decks with compartments, 1 door, and then some kind of window near the top of the structure. And as far as whether or not, some would say fable, some would say truth, but as far as the potentiality of animals being on board, some kind of potential structure like this, then thanks to modern DNA technology, I believe in the school on this, that DNA could pretty much determine what kind of animals might
absolutely. And if they get into it and it is indeed Noah's Ark, you're going to see stalls and cages and everything else. And just the fact that it's been under ice for well over 4,000 or 5,000 years, it could be very well preserved.